Hi, everybody. This is our program, English Digest, and I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're continuing to talk about Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. You may have been inspired to read this novel. We began talking about it 2 days ago. That's plenty of time for you to head down to your local bookstore or go on the internet and order yourself a copy. So, hey, maybe you've already read this novel. And because it's by a Chinese author, maybe you read this novel a long time ago. We don't know, but in any case, it's a pretty cool novel, and I, as promised, will read this after our program is over.
Yeah, it's all about two little guys. They're teens. They're in their teen years. One's an unnamed narrator, and he's with his friend Luo. And as you remember, if you listen to the first program of our literature unit, Luo falls in love with a girl named the Little Seamstress, and even though he considers her to be unsophisticated, he goes about trying to make her a little bit more sophisticated by reading to her and trying to teach her good manners, you could say. Eventually, at the end of the book, she decides she's had enough.
She dumps him.
Of his re-education. So she leaves him and runs to the city to find, a new life. And the book ends with him being very unhappy.
Very distressed, yeah. Very depressed. Oh, I lost the girl. Oh, no, I've got a broken heart. What am I going to do? But, hey, there are many fish in the sea. He's got plenty of more women to check or to choose from there, so he should be okay. But today we are going to talk about this book. We'll go over the plot again, but we'll also talk about some of the meanings of some of these things, what they symbolize and all that kind of stuff, and why we think you should read it if you haven't done so already. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson right now. Please listen carefully.
On the surface, Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress is an entertaining novel. Yet on a deeper level, it explores many inspiring themes. The concept of re-education is a central part of the book. The most obvious form of this is the boy's re-education by the Communist Party. However, there are other examples of re-education as well. In his own way, Luo is trying to re-educate the little seamstress by teaching her Western ideas and the ways of city people. In the end, he is perhaps too successful with his aim, as the seamstress becomes so independent that she decides to leave him and seek her own identity and happiness. The novel also stands as a tribute to the art of storytelling. Whenever Luo and the narrator recount the films and books they've seen and read, the boys are delighted at how they can entertain and enlighten audiences with their performances. This demonstrates the idea that oral traditions are as important as written literature. Another important theme is knowledge. Dai vividly describes the boy's excitement when they acquire the banned books. Yet he clearly expresses that book knowledge isn't the only type of wisdom. When the boys first reach the village, they consider themselves superior to the villagers because they're highly educated. As the story progresses, they begin to appreciate the practical skills of the villagers. For example, when Luo falls ill, the seamstress uses traditional Chinese medicine to heal him. The narrator also learns to admire the beautiful sewing of the tailor, the grandfather of the seamstress. These examples remind readers that wisdom has many forms and isn't always learned in a classroom.
Okay, it's time now to discuss our featured novel, Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress. And on the surface, it's an entertaining novel. On the surface here just means when you first look at something, the first impression you have of something, this is the case. So on the surface, when you look at it, when you read the book, yeah, it's an entertaining novel. You can just read it and maybe forget all about it, but well, there are deeper things in the novel that you ought to consider.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's entertaining. It gives you a lot of pleasure. You enjoy what you're doing as you're reading. You just think, oh, this is great. If something's entertaining, you really want to go and do it. I find movies entertaining, being with friends entertaining, things that bring you pleasure. Well, On a deeper level, this book explores many inspiring themes. If you explore something, you look at something in a careful or thoughtful way. You really talk about it, think about it. Here we're talking about themes that are inspiring. A theme is a topic. The main topic of something is a theme. And if it's inspiring, it makes you want to go out and do something. Maybe you find songs inspiring. It makes you want to work harder. Or maybe it makes you want to go and write a song yourself or produce something that's very creative. Lots of things can be inspiring to people. I also find nature inspiring.
Right, like going to the mountains, the forest, the beach, stuff like that.
Makes you want to do more with your life.
Sure, a trip to France might be very inspiring. Maybe you want to be an artist or something like that. And so, yes, it explores many of these inspiring ideas or themes. First of all, we have the concept of re-education. That is a central part of the book. Remember, that's the reason the main character and his friend Law were going to this mountain village in the first place. They were going there to a re-education center, or I could say they were going there to become re-educated. And that's a central theme or a central part of the book. And indeed, the most obvious form of this is the boy's re-education by the Communist Party. So I guess there are different forms of re-education. The obvious one in this book, the one that's most clear, the one that's staring you right in the face, is they're being re-educated by the Communist Party, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, as it's sometimes known.
That's true. Well, however, there are other examples of re-education as well. I mentioned this at the beginning of our program today. Law is actually trying to re-educate that little seamstress. He thinks she's unsophisticated, and he's trying to teach her more about the Western way of life and how city people live their lives. Yeah. It's very different in the city as compared to the countryside. Things are very different. So he's doing what is being done to him. He was sent out to the rural area of China to be re-educated, learn how to be more like a peasant, a good Chinese citizen. And he's doing the exact thing to his little, well, I guess you could say his lover. He fell in love with her, but he didn't think she was quite what he wanted. So he's trying to re-educate her, retrain her so she'll be more of the kind of partner he thinks he deserves.
Yes, to be suitable to go back to the city and live with him, to be sophisticated, to be able to talk about intellectual subjects like art and literature and cinema and stuff like that. Not to talk about those savage topics like farming or digging in the ground or milking cows and stuff like that. So I guess he was kind of arrogant in this way. He was going out there to teach this girl about not only the ways of city people, but to teach her about Western ways of thinking. And in the end, he is perhaps too successful with his aim, as the seamstress becomes so independent that she decides to leave him and seek her own identity and happiness. So I guess we could say he overdid it. He was too successful with his aim, with his goal. Here the word as just means because, or as a result of this, the seamstress became very independent. If you're independent, that means you don't rely on other people. You do need to be independent, for example, if you want to move to another city and you don't have other people to stay with or other people to rely on.
Yeah, so she really changed quite a bit. And that's when she decides, hey, I don't need you anymore, Mr. Luo. And she seeks her own identity and happiness in the city. As we find out, she runs away. To seek means you look very carefully for something. Maybe you spend many years, maybe it's a month, but it's not just to look for. To seek means you're very serious about finding what you're looking for. And as Tom said, she wants to find her own identity. Your identity includes the qualities about you, your characteristics, your personality, your beliefs that make you different from other people around you, that make you kind of special and unique.
She wants to go find herself, and she wants to do it away from Law here. And so that's one theme of this story, the idea of re-education. And the novel also stands as a tribute to the art of storytelling. A tribute is recognition of something, and that recognition also praises that thing. You might pay tribute to someone if you write a novel and you dedicate the novel to somebody who you think actually influenced you, and you owe a lot to this person. So it's a tribute to storytelling. It's praising storytelling. Like, storytelling is really great when people actually sit down and reel off a yarn. You know, they tell these stories, well, when I was in World War II and I was fighting the Germans, we went into this house and blah, blah, blah. Yes, we do like to listen to people tell stories, and this book is telling us that storytelling is a great thing.
Not everyone is good at telling stories. My dad and my younger brother are great storytellers. So if you're really good at this, you have a talent for it, you could say that people hang on your every word. They listen to every word out of your mouth. We used to do a lot of storytelling before we had TV and movies and, you know, we had books, but even books were hard to come by a couple of hundred years ago. So storytelling was really a part of our culture, and that's changed. Well, whenever Law and the narrator recount the films and books they've seen and read, the boys are delighted at how they can entertain and enlighten audiences with their performance. If you recount something, it means you tell somebody about something that happened. So because they've already seen the films that they're telling the villagers about, they're retelling them what they saw and what it was like. They also had access to all those Western books that were banned, remember? And so they're recounting what they read in those books as well.
Exactly. To recount means to tell something again that you've heard. And so they saw these things in the movies and they read these things in the books. And they are delighted they can entertain these audiences. Delighted means you're happy and you can enlighten somebody by letting them know about something that is important that they don't know about. But here they enlightened those audiences with their performances. I guess they were pretty good at telling these people about what happened in those movies. They would hang on every word as they described what happened in the movies. So, they were enlightening these audiences with their performances. I did want to mention this again, audience here. Plural here, audiences. That refers to different groups, not different people in an audience.
Mm-hmm. So be careful with that word. Well, they were really excited. If you're delighted by something, something has made you very happy. You have a lot of satisfaction about something. So they really enjoyed doing this. Enlightening somebody, you give someone knowledge, you help them understand something better, you're explaining something to someone so suddenly it's clear to them. So this demonstrates the idea that oral traditions, oral means spoken, the oral traditions are as important as written literature, the books that we have that we can open up and read pages of stories within that. If it demonstrates something, it shows something very clearly. Someone who is going to demonstrate why these words will be important to you in the future is our Chinese teacher. She's going to explain some more about our vocabulary.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看巴尔扎克与小裁缝。那么前一个节目里头我们就说这个作者他的一些故事、个人经历还有他的成功。他这本小说是在北美、欧洲销量非常好，可是在中国却被禁。那我们继续来看这本小说它有什么样的意义，有什么样的启示呢？它其实表面上看起来是一个娱乐小说，可是它说到了表面 on the surface。 好，表面是如此，那另外深层呢，下一句就是 on a deeper level， 这两个相对照，就深的一个层次来说，诶，它探讨了很多发人深省的议题。那我们再来看到下面呢，继续介绍这里头最核心的部分，当然是再教育，这是其中第一点。那比如说这些少年们他受到共产党的再教育，可是他又讲还有别的例子哦，他的再教育重点不是只有受到共产党的再教育而已。在下一句里面，句尾有一个 as well， 好 as well我们翻成也，但是记得一定摆在尾巴。当然你会想到有个片语就是 A as well as B， 从那个片语 连接到这个 as well, 其实它有一样的解释。在尾巴的地方就是相当于也或者是 also, 可是 also 却不会放在尾巴哦。要记得这两个意思相同，可是句子里面摆的位置不同。再来下面继续说，他讲到再教育这个重点，其实还有一点就是跟罗明，他想要用他的方式教育小裁缝，然后他想要教他西方的思想，还有他也许就是因为太成功了，以至于其实最后小裁缝变得很独立，甚至于离开他。那这边 So independent that she decides to leave him, 看到这句话的 So that, 我们常常用到这个片语，当然中间夹的是一个形容词或者是一个副词，这表示一种因果关系。因为后来他变得这么样的独立，所以呢结果是他离开了罗明。那谈到这个小说有什么样的启示，有什么样的重点，第二个重点就是这个小说的内容里面他也对 storytelling 这种说书艺术致敬。他提到罗明还有当然 narrator 这个叙述故事 的讲者，他们两位其实都看电影也阅读书籍，而且他们都很擅长于 storytelling。 那提到说他们这两个人这两个青少年对他能表演娱乐启发听众感到很高兴，他用到了 are delighted at something, 其实就是对什么感到很高兴。但是你看到后面还有一个这个 delight 是表示高兴快乐，那后面这个字 enlighten 好像都跟 light 这个字有关， enlighten 却是一个动词哦，它表示启发。这两个字我们做一点连结。再来下面最后呢要提醒你的是，这句话它讲到口述的传统，谈到书写的文学，这两个对照，口述的传统是 oral traditions, 那书写的文学 written literature, 注意哦，你讲的是 written, 不是 writing, 你要用过去分词 written, 就像我们说的 spoken language 是口述的语言，但是这个书写的语言你是用 written language, 一样的道理 written literature 是书写的文学。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Now, today we're kind of breaking down our featured novel, Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress, and we're talking about different themes in this novel. So far, we've talked about the theme of re-education. They went to the mountains to be re-educated, but also Luo was trying to re-educate his girlfriend there. We also talked about the theme of storytelling. It stands as a tribute to storytelling. What a great thing it is. We should continue the oral tradition of spreading information around instead of just relying on reading magazine articles or books or things on the internet. We should actually listen to people tell those stories that can be quite entertaining. Well, now we're going to talk about another important theme, and that's the theme of knowledge, knowing things.
Knowledge. Well, Dai, the author, vividly describes the boys' excitement when they acquire or get their hands on those banned books. If you do something vividly, you do it in a way that almost seems like real life, because what you're doing is very exciting. It's very clear. Maybe you're giving a lot of details. What you're doing is really quite interesting to listen to. It's fascinating. So the way he describes the boys' excitement is very, very exciting, even the way he uses his words. So Dai, it sounds like, is a very good author. He's able to portray the boys' excitement clearly to the reader. They are quite excited when they get their hands on those banned books. Most teenagers would be. Anything that's banned is kind of exciting for teens. Yet he clearly, Dai that is, expresses that book knowledge isn't the only type of wisdom. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Wisdom, I think, is knowledge that you gain through the experiences you have in life. You can't just read about it. You have to actually go through the experience. That's where wisdom comes from.
And you have good judgment as a result. You're somebody that people like to listen to. We like to describe our elders as having lots of wisdom because of all their experiences in life, and they know how to interpret these experiences and tell us what the right things to do are. But knowledge from books isn't the only type of knowledge or wisdom. When the boys first reached the village, of course, they consider themselves superior to the villagers because they're highly educated. Yes, we're from the city. We went to university. We can name all the Chinese philosophers from the past. We can cite passages from ancient Chinese classical texts. And you arrogant peasants out here can't do anything like that. So they are very arrogant here. They consider themselves superior. If you consider yourself something, that means you think of yourself that way. They just think they're superior, and superior means better than somebody in a higher position.
You think you're better than others. You have something that's better than they have. If you're talking about a product and you say it's a superior computer, it means it's of a higher quality than other computers. It's not good to think of yourself as superior to others. That's a bad way to think about life. Well, they think just because they're so highly educated that they're better than the villagers, they look down on the villagers. It's another way to say that. As the story progresses or moves forward, the boys actually begin to appreciate the practical skills that the villagers have. If you appreciate something, you see the value of it. You see that it has a lot of worth to you. You can see that, oh, this is good. And if something's practical, it relates to real life more than just what we imagine life to be. You can actually use something or do something in a situation in real life. It's practical. Practical skills of villagers might be that they can raise food. They can raise crops. They know how to do things to earn a living without, you know, having a store or having a noodle stand. They actually get out there in the fields and they use their hands a lot. I think people who have practical skills aren't just using their brain. They're using their hands and skills they've developed over years of practice.
And with lots of experience, too, farmers, of course, know what seeds will plant the best plants and how deep to plant them, when to irrigate them, how to get water from the river, what bugs to watch out for. There's all sorts of stuff involved with farming and other things. So, yes, they realize that, hey, these villagers aren't the ignorant peasants that we thought they were when we first came here. They start to appreciate their practical skills. Here's an example. For example, when Loa falls ill, the seamstress uses traditional Chinese medicine to heal him. So he's from the city. He probably thought, traditional Chinese medicine, that's a thing of the past. Why should I use that? That was something that went out of style long ago. I use Western medicine now, but hey, she had this problem or he had this problem, and the seamstress used traditional Chinese medicine, sometimes referred to as herbal medicine, and she healed him, and he was better. He thought, what the heck happened there? I thought I was supposed to see a Western doctor. It turns out that this girl just pulled out some herbs and spices and did a few things, and I'm as good as new.
Cool. The narrator, who again is Luo's teenage friend, his buddy, also learns to admire the beautiful sewing of the tailor. The tailor is the seamstress's grandfather. Now, if you admire something, you feel a lot of respect for it. You approve of it. And sewing is the art of making clothing or repairing clothing using a needle and a thread. I doubt that this tailor had a sewing machine, but maybe he did. A tailor can only be used for a male person, so it has to be a guy who makes clothes, a tailor. The woman is called the seamstress, and the man is called a tailor. We have different terms depending on whether someone's a girl or a guy. So the grandfather of the little seamstress, he had practical skills. He made beautiful clothes. I've made clothes. It's not easy to do. So I always admire people who are really able to sew well.
Right. I guess it's pretty difficult to get the collar sewn on correctly.
Sure.
Because so many things can go wrong. I wanted to study cloth making myself, but then I realized It's a lot harder than it looks.
It's very hard.
So I kind of gave up that idea. Although my mother used to buy patterns from the local stores,
uh-huh.
and she made dresses all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, he was watching the grandfather sew clothes, and he thought, that's pretty cool. That's amazing. How could he have those skills? So these examples remind readers that wisdom has many forms and isn't always learned in a classroom. So if you're reminded of something, that means you know something, but you kind of forgot it, so somebody needs to remind you. Like I have to go see the doctor this Thursday
okay.
to get a blood test,
yeah.
but I'm so busy I might forget. So maybe you should remind me.
Yeah.
Let me know about that again so I don't forget.
Yeah, again, it's just to help somebody remember something so they don't forget. A lot of times we need people to remind us to do things because our memories just aren't always very good. We're thinking about other things. So these examples remind these two boys that wisdom has many forms. It isn't just in a book. Tom and I were talking about the difference between being book smart and street smart. Book smart means you got your knowledge through reading and studying and going to school. Street smart is you're smart because you've been out there experiencing real life, and so you have a lot of skills that will protect you and keep you safe.
So it sounds like a pretty good book to read if you like that one. Hey, he's got plenty of other novels to check out, so you could begin spending a lot of time reading these novels to pass the winter here. Sounds like a pretty good idea to
yeah.
me. Okay, that brings us to the end of our program. Thanks for listening. But before we say goodbye, we'd like to hear from our Chinese teacher again.
好，我们继续来看这本书的启示。第三个。最重要的一点就是知识 knowledge。好，他这边怎么解释呢？他当然这个戴思杰，他描述了少年们他获得禁书的时候的兴奋，但是他也很明确的告诉你，其实书本上的知识可不是唯一人类智慧的形式，真正的智慧不一定是从书本来的。那这边我们提到一个重要的句型，往下看到了吗？他说到 When the boys first reached the village, they considered themselves superior to the villagers. 就是这些少年一开始刚到这个村落的时候，以为啊自己是比这些村民来的优越许多，有那种优越感。Consider themselves, 这个 consider, 这个动词它常常用在 VOC 的句型，也就是动词 consider 后面接受词，受词后面接补语。以这个句子当中来看， superior 这个形容词就是它补语的位置，所以认为他们自己怎么样呢？ I 比这些村民高出优越许多。另外一个重点就是 superior 这个形容词，它后面要接受词，说比谁优越的话，介系词一定要记得是 to。那其实有好几个形容词，像 inferior 它的相反词比谁差一样要接一个 to。He feels inferior to his sister。比如说，那你记得介系词是 to 哦。还有别的吗？有的，比如说 senior 跟 junior。当你说He is senior to me by 2 years. 诶，他比我年长两岁。这个 be senior to 也是一样加 to。那它的相反词呢 ?junior 也是一样。当你说一个人比你小比你之前 ,be junior to somebody, 一样是介系词的 to。
That's it for today. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.